I'd like to begin this morning by extending a general invitation to the men of our parish or any other men who might be visiting here from other parishes this morning to attend the upcoming Acts Retreat, which will be held in mid-March. There are still several spots open, and so you'd certainly be welcome. I certainly would like to encourage you to think about doing this. You know, as a priest, I get to see the fruits of things happening. I see more men who are coming to daily Mass. I see men getting together at their workplaces to pray with one another, pray for one another. There's even a group, I understand, of men in a local neighborhood who made Acts Retreats planning to have the Way of the Cross in their neighborhood each Friday evening. So when, as a priest, I see and hear these things, of course, it does me a great deal of good, and I'm happy to see that. And there's no doubt that there's nothing a man can do that's of more importance to his family than to strengthen his faith and his relationship with God. Absolutely, there's nothing more important than that. So I certainly want to encourage our gentlemen who have not made the retreat to please do so. Even if you think you may not get something out of it, you might be there for somebody else who gets something from you. I know that is certainly a case. And if I could use the analogy, a man who goes on the Acts Retreat is like a bottle of pop or a can of pop. He goes to a retreat, you shake it up, you pop open the top and things kind of spray all over the place. That's what happens with the Holy Spirit. You become filled with the graces of God and you want to share those with your family and those around you, and wonderful things happen. So there are applications in the back of church on the literature rack, so please consider that, pray about it, and make a decision. It'll be good for you and for your family. In the scriptures, we hear a lot about the poor. Jesus speaks often to and of the poor. The church herself has much to say about the poor. And the church has much to say about the poor because Jesus himself spoke about the poor. But who exactly do we mean when we use that term, the poor? What sort of poverty are we referring to exactly when we say the poor? No doubt, having a lack of finances can mean that one is poor. But there are many people who, despite not having much money, make do with the little bit that they do have. They live simply. They don't waste anything. They take care of those things they do possess, and they try to conserve their money as best they can to take care of their needs and pay their bills. Oftentimes, these people will tell you that they may not have much materially speaking, but they certainly have faith and they have trust in God. I notice that many people like this are people who are people of prayer, go to Mass, and when you speak with them, they have a content and friendly disposition. Many times their families are close and they'll help one another out. And I've noticed that despite their hardship, these people are very willing to share even the little bit that they actually have with others. And sometimes you find those on the other side who've got plenty of money, oftentimes more money than they know what to do with, and they'll live their lives by a quote that I once saw that said, happiness is a positive cash flow. I actually saw that. Happiness is a positive cash flow on a lady's t-shirt. I was in Mexico as a seminarian back in college, and we were doing some work in a very poor area of Mexico, and she was there as a tourist, and this is what her t-shirt said. In the midst of all this poverty, she has this on her t-shirt. Happiness is a positive cash flow. And it was obvious by the way she carried herself, the way she spoke, and the money she spent, that she had money going on. But that was kind of in bad taste. So people like this will spend lavishly on themselves, lavishly on their friends or their families, people who can pretty well do for themselves anyway. But when it comes to helping out those who are, they think are less than themselves, not going to happen. They refuse to help anybody else. You know, the kind, the more they have, the more they want. And they have no problem taking money from other people, oftentimes exploiting them to satisfy their lust for money. Now, many times people like this would not be religious, as they have no need of God. Right? They have everything they want in their money. Okay? So heaven's not a big deal to them. They only worry about earthly happiness. But sometimes you find people like this who are religious, but only superficially so. They like to be seen in church, they like to donate to the church as much as possible, but they expect to be recognized for the things that they do for their churches. And they like to direct the clergy and boss them around into doing the things they want them to do. Now, such people might be materially wealthy, but they are indeed truly poor. It is money, not love, that they have. And because they have money but no love, They have no true happiness, they have no hope, and they certainly have no character or depth. So poverty, then, can be a state of financial or material distress, without a doubt. However, to be without faith, to be without hope, to be without compassion, to be without love, that is to be the poorest of the poor. If we look around in the places where we live, there are among us those who are truly in need of our merciful assistance. The elderly, the physically or the mentally disabled, those with sicknesses that render them unable to work. In those cases where physically or mentally they cannot help themselves, you and I have an obligation from Christ himself, a command to assist them in their needs. We should. And that's great. When we offer services to other people like this, are we also praying for them? That's important. Not just taking care of their material or physical needs, but are we actually praying for these people, offering to pray with these people at the same time? Not just for them, but with them. If they need to come to Mass, for example, do we offer these people a ride? They can't get there themselves. Can you come with me? So what are we doing to help these people spiritually as well as materially? While material comforts are necessary many times, it is well understood that one can certainly endure hardship on the outside far more easily when one is full and rich on the inside. And that's what Christ is speaking about in the Gospel. Being filled on the inside with his presence. Not looking for human or material comfort only, but the riches of grace. The riches of grace, which is the most pressing need of all for every one of us. Our country, sadly, is lacking in grace. And what a poor, wretched, and starving people we are in America. Oh yes, we have material wealth untold, but at the same time, there is also untold poverty. In that we love to glorify celebrities, but we have nothing to do with integrity. We admire people with power, but have no use for humility. We have lots of abundance, but no charity. Blessed beyond measure, yet we give no thanks whatsoever to God. Instead, we ridicule faith, we choose greed over charity, and we become devoid of hope. We have become a nation of caricatures, a nation of disfigured images, but we have no character. Thus, as a nation, we are indeed quite poor. This is where Christ is calling on all of us, you and me, to thank him for those blessings that we do possess, to trust in his mercy to provide the things that we don't yet have, but more than anything else, to love God and to love one another, to deepen our faith in God and to show that faith, share that faith with one another, to establish a sense of hope that beyond the dismal existence that most people live in, there is something greater in meeting Christ and having a beautiful friendship with him. This is the best thing that we can do as Christians for our nation, to make a nation good, to make it strong and great. Through faith in Christ and love of God and love of one another, bringing about a new sense of hope. St. Paul reminds us we are believers in the resurrection. If Christ has not risen from the dead, then of course what I'm saying makes no sense. But if Christ is risen, and he is, then no matter what passion we may have to go through, no matter how many crosses, how many Good Fridays, the resurrection is always there. And we bring that hope, a hope that springs eternal and fills us with joy in the new life given to us by Christ's resurrection.